amazing experience, something that I will never forget. It was overwhelming with God's love, God's mercy, God's peace, God's joy. It was just like a whole kind of burger of things that just were, I was experiencing. Like I couldn't put you can't put words to it almost. You just have to experience it. That's as much as I can give you. But shortly after the thing happened, I found myself on the train traveling to a friend's place and witnessing to a Muslim Bangladeshi guy sat opposite me, and just talking to him about how much God loved him, how Jesus had died for him. But what was interesting is that he could see it on me. It was visible to him. He could see the conviction. He could see what I was going through. But I didn't stop there. At work, I used to work in a skateboard shop in Carnaby Street, and it was quite noticeable to a lot of the staff, so much so that a friend of mine, he invited me to his house to come and pray with him and lead him through the Lord's Prayer and ultimately lead him to Jesus. So it was a really powerful time. He used to look at me at work and think, like, you know, for ages sometimes, just stare at me like. And I went up to him and was like, bro, what's wrong? What is it? And he's like, well, why are you so happy? Why do you look like there's no problems in your life? And I had to tell him it was Jesus. And that's what led to me praying with him that time. Also, something that I've left out is that for a moment, I didn't need food. I wasn't like, for me, that's a big deal because I love my food, right? But I remember for a couple of days, I wasn't like eating. I wasn't concerned about like food. I was just so much in love with God at the time that it didn't really matter. But what had happened? What was the thing that had happened to me? Basically, I'd been washed. I was baptized. And that's what I'm going to be talking to you about today. When we read the Bible, there are passages that predict a man coming, a prophet called John, 700 years before he arrived in the book of Isaiah, and then later on in the book of Malachi, 400 years before his coming. And basically his ministry was to prepare the hearts of the people of Israel for the coming Messiah, that was Jesus. He was to prepare them for the Messiah who would usher in this new kingdom by getting them to repent of their sins. This man, John, was considered the greatest of all prophets, and even Jesus himself referred to him as a burning light, a shining lamp. He was definitely on fire for God. He's the only one of the prophets that got to meet the Lord in the flesh. And when John met Jesus, he was able to identify that Jesus was the one that was not only going to take away the sin of the Jewish people, but the sin of the world. And so he's a pivotal figure who gained notoriety quite quickly throughout the land of Israel. They even gave him a nickname because of what he was doing to people. They called him John the Dunker or John the Plunger. We know him as John the Baptist. We'll be dunking a few people tonight. Can we see the hands? Yes. Are you going in? I didn't know you were going in. Oh, yeah. Oh, amazing. 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 Yeah. I mean, baptism is, I can't commend it enough. Well done. Well done. Well done. Again, that was his ministry to prepare the people, the hearts of the people via repentance and baptism. So then what is baptism? In itself, the Greek word means to fully immerse or to drench or plunge in and into something. So ultimately, when you look in the Bible, we see that baptism is a transition. It's a taking you from one place to another, and not just a part of the vessel, but the whole vessel is transferred to somewhere else. For example, when I was baptized in water into the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, so what is Christian baptism? We have John's baptism, which is a baptism of repentance. Now, what is the baptism that Jesus endorses? Christian baptism, Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through our faith in Jesus, we have been justified and made righteous. When God sees us, he sees no sin. Through our faith, just alone, our faith alone in Jesus Christ makes us right with God. Matthew 3:13-15. This describes when Jesus came to John at the Jordan to be baptized. It says, then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and you're coming to me. But then Jesus answered and said to him, permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he allowed him. So in other words, these two passages, they tell us that Christian baptism is to complete all righteousness in the life of the believer. It's not to repentance, because we've already repented when we come to the Lord. It's to complete that righteousness. It's to complete the righteousness in us. And why? Because his kingdom is coming. Baptism is an enactment of the gospel, and specifically the resurrection. Someone shared something really powerful about that. And how encouraging it was to see Jesus alive again in the flesh in the first service. The resurrection is super powerful. And it's not only that, it's not only eternal life, it's God making all things new. In Revelations, Jesus says, behold, I make all things new. So God is making new people for a new creation. In the beginning, in Genesis, we have a new creation, and then God puts people in it. This time he's starting with us. And one of the ways that he does that is through baptism. So how is God, through the act of baptism, preparing his people? What happens during baptism from a spiritual perspective? We can look at 1 Peter 3:20. It says, who formerly were disobedient, when once the divine long-suffering waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is 8 souls, were saved through water. I left this out in the first service, but I think it's only 8 souls that were saved. Of all the millions of people, and there was only one way in which they were saved. Well, I think we need to be mindful of that as we carry on. Noah's ark, I'm sure we're all familiar with the story. We've all heard it before, maybe Sunday school and all the rest of it. But what was the message in this account? It's that judgment is coming. And the only way to escape that judgment is through the ark. The flood of water represents God's judgment. The ark represents Christ. Christ is the only way by which we can pass through God's judgment safely. Pass from one life to the next, with the old life being washed away with, and the new life beginning. And baptism is this way that God takes us from death to life. Better get that right. And today I want to present to you 3 important characteristics or actions of baptism. Firstly, number one, baptism is an act of submission. The bottom line is this: Jesus told us to do it. And in essence, baptism is submitting to the will of God, meaning that our lives are no longer our own, but they belong to Jesus. If we say we're truly following Jesus, then baptism is going to make sense to us. There is a desperate need as well, if you look around, for people to submit to Jesus. And we only have to look to the war in the Middle East, with the Jews on one side, who are still waiting for their Messiah. They've missed Jesus. They're expecting another. And then Islam on the other side, which ironically means one who submits to God, but they haven't submitted to God. They've also missed Jesus. They've called him only a prophet. And that's why we have war. Jesus is the only answer. He's the answer that the world needs. And we need men and women fully submitted to him, to declare the truth of who he is. Many of us will hear of things in the faith about how God offers eternal life, how he offers peace, how he offers love, and God lovingly will take us in. But baptism might be the first thing that we've done that we maybe don't want to do or have struggled to do. I want us to look at it slightly different today, primarily that it's an act of submission to Jesus. If you're struggling with the idea of baptism alone, this is, and you need a reason, this is a good enough reason. It's your kingdom come, your will be done. It's an act of submission. Even Jesus himself was baptized by John the Baptist. And when John saw Jesus coming to be baptized, he said, no. Like I shared earlier, he said, no, I need to be baptized by you. And then Jesus answers and said, no, it's not fitting. Permit it to be so. It is to fulfill all righteousness. So in plain speech, he's saying that it's right to do what God wants us to do. And that's why he was baptized. The Lord Jesus is our pattern, fully submitted to the will of God, showing us that we can do the same. We should do the same. And why should we submit? That it may be well with us. It's for our benefit. Again, he's taking us from death to life. It's not to harm us. He has plans to prosper us and not to harm us. But moving on, baptism is also an act of separation. It's a help for us to be cut off from something. It's a help to get us away from something. It's the final break. When we look in Romans 6, verse 3 to 4, we can see, or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. This is talking about Christian baptism being an identification with Jesus' death and burial. In many ways, baptism is like a funeral service. And what's really going to happen here tonight is that we're going to bury people. They go into that watery grave, out of sight, to emerge in new life in Jesus. The first funeral I ever went to was when my gran died. And I knew that when I put that, I picked up a piece of earth and I had an opportunity to throw it onto the coffin as it was being lowered. I knew then that was it. She was gone. And if like the person that's turned to Jesus, confessed him as Lord and asked him to forgive and remove their sin, they too have died. But once that person has died, they need to be buried. They need to be fully submerged and drenched. First death occurs, then the burial. But then, hallelujah, a new person rises to life in Jesus. So baptism separates us. We're not given so much a new start in life as much as being presented to us today with ideas of living your best life now and this, that, and the third. Jesus offers something far more superior. We're given a whole new life to start with. Interestingly, there are other cultures that recognize once a person is baptized as a result of following the Lord, that the rest of the family will acknowledge them as dead. If you believe in Jesus, that's okay. If you read your Bible, that's okay. But the moment you're baptized, you're dead to that family because they know that it's the last goodbye. That's the cutoff point. Again, which is sad, but it's only in Jesus that we can walk again in newness of life. Everything else, we're still bound. We're still bound. We're not separated. It doesn't separate us. Only Jesus. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 1 to 2. Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that our fathers were under the cloud. All passed through the sea. All were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. This is talking about when Israelites were leaving Egypt to go to the promised land, but being chased by the Egyptians. So again, it speaks of two baptisms, one from above and one going down into the water. But we can notice this, that it was the water that separated the children of Israel. It's the water that separates us from the Egyptians. They had faith in believing in the blood of the lamb, what they put on the doorpost before they leave to not get killed by the angel of death. That saved them in Egypt. but it was the water that separated them. We can believe in the blood of Jesus and be saved, but we're not separated from our old life, our old man, our old nature until we're baptized. The blood saves us in Egypt, but the water separates us from Egypt. Again, in Romans 6, verse 10 to 11, it says this: for the death he died to sin once and for all. But the life that he lives to God. This is talking about Jesus. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And this shows us how we identify with Jesus through baptism. It shows us that the life of Jesus, once he was buried and rose again. Again, death couldn't hold him. He died to sin. He was finished with it. Satan couldn't tempt him anymore. He was out of that. And just free to live a life towards God. And that's what baptism is symbolizing. It separates us. It's a cutting off. And again, as a man thinks, Jesus said, so he is. So I want to encourage us today, all of us that have been baptized, to walk again in that newness of life to God. You will rise again. Death has no hold on you. Sin has no hold on you. However, baptism is not only an act of submission and separation, but it's also an act of salvation. And very interestingly, there's loads of Bible verses that point out our own initial responsibility in baptism. What are the scriptures all pointing to? What are they getting at? It's this. It's having a clear conscience before God. Having our sins forgiven in heaven is one thing, but Jesus wants us to cleanse now, be cleansed from them now, and the power of them also. He wants our hearts to be totally clean in his sight now, not in the future. This isn't if I get to heaven, this is now. And so many times when we speak of baptism, the thief on the cross will come up, or infants will come up. But more times than most, when we ask this question, we're missing that vital point, that baptism is about having a clear conscience before God in the here and the now, not in the future. And this is what Jesus is wanting us to have, that we no longer need to carry our sins around in our hearts, that we have right standing with God, that we've enacted that out completely and fully. In essence, he wants us to know that we're seated with him already in heavenly places. 1 Peter 3:21. There's also an antitype which now saves us. Baptism. Not from the removal of filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Baptism is an appeal to God from a clean conscience. A call to be washed. It's his grace working, getting us clean. Not from the dirt of the body, but in our hearts. We can even use it against the enemy. When he comes, we can say, I've been baptized. Sin has no death on us. Sin has no hold on us. Death has no hold on us. I've been baptized. So does it work on anyone? Can I run through the streets just spraying water on people? There's a meme about that, by the way, which is really funny. No. Well, in essence, no. I mean, the water just becomes a degraded, sort of superstitious, magical water that turns anyone into a believer if it touches them. But this is not how it works. And my wife and I have had many drawn out conversations about it. Or I call them conversations, but she might call them heated discussions. But anyway, I'm going to invite her up and she's going to share with you how I won.
Jesus won. Hi, yeah, I'm Liz. It's really cool being here on the second service. Lots of different faces for me. I'm usually here on the first. yeah, so for those of you who don't know me or us, we've been married, and actually I got this wrong in the first service, and he was thankful it wasn't him. But we've been married for 6 years, not five. I said five. And we're going on seven, and we've been together for about 11 years. And when we first started to date, I was a Lutheran, and I'd been baptized as a baby. My parents obviously baptized me as a baby. It was their, you know, obviously their faith convicted them to do that, and you know, that's fine. I'm not going to talk about their faith. But what happened later was I met Daniel. We started to date, and one of our most biggest arguments, I'm going to call it an argument because it was a proper argument. We argued all the time about baptism. That was one of our most heated, like, issues that we had when we were dating.
It would have been a deal breaker.
It could have been a deal breaker, yeah. And especially for him. I think for me it was like less of a deal breaker, but for him it was sort of like, I don't understand. So the clear conscience thing was a very big part of why he didn't understand how I could be baptized as a baby and how that was a valid baptism. So we talked a lot about this, and obviously Daniel brought me to the same verses that he's showing you today. Clear conscience, you know, submitting to God, all these things. And, you know, obviously that points to an adult being baptized. Or not even an adult, you can be however old you are. There's no age. It's just having a clear conscience. This is not an age thing, but an infant, you know, is the conversation. So anyway, basically what happened is it took not just weeks, not months, years. I'm talking years for me to open my heart. And I really have to say, my heart was very hardened. And, you know, people in here, you all might have hardened hearts on other topics, but for me, it was definitely baptism. And I think, you know, once you open your heart, you really do, the Spirit will really talk to you. And I said this in the first service, but I did not want to admit it to Daniel that I was changing in my heart. I really wasn't ready to admit it to anyone. I was stubborn. You know, you might even be stubborn, like I said, in something else. It can be anything, you know, but the Spirit is going to talk to you. And the Spirit is going to always be right, and God is always going to be right, and the truth is always going to be right. And I couldn't run away from it. It was like a magnetic pull, like saying, you must be baptized, basically. Just, I don't know, it was just like telling me over and over. And it was this weird thing. I was having a real battle with myself, and even with God, I would say. And then, I don't know, eventually, I don't even know how it happened, but it was 2 years ago now, when the very first baptisms that we had as a church here, when we changed churches here, I got baptized 2 years ago now. Yeah. And it was cool because actually I think it happened really kind of quickly. Daniel was just like, you need to get baptized. And I was still sort of like, I don't know. I was still like, I don't know. But I knew in my heart it was the right thing. And so I did it. And, you know, obviously I know now it was the right thing. And let's be clear, it was my only baptism. I don't consider that I had two baptisms. I consider I had one. And that was the one in which I had a clear conscience, I submitted to God, and, you know, I have that salvation through Christ because of that baptism. So let's just be clear about that. I'm not promoting having two baptisms. I'm promoting having one baptism with a clear conscience. And I just want to encourage all of you today with this story that whether you want to get baptized or you've already been baptized, just know that you should do it based on, you know, the truth, the Bible, God, not on your parents, the church, Daniel, yeah. anybody else telling you to do it? Yeah, it should be through your own heart, through your change of heart, through turning away from your sins and repenting. You know, that's how it should be done. And I just want to encourage you today that that's how you should look at it, not just, oh, it's because of this, whatever reason or whatever. So yeah, I just want to encourage you today that if you are getting baptized tonight, I mean, I'm excited for you. And if you're still thinking about it, yeah, I hope that you will open your heart to God's truth.
Yeah, she didn't say.
Thank
that.
You.
No. So glad.
Yeah. So yeah, we came to that conclusion. And what is the precursor? What are these precursors that need to be met in order for someone to have, let's say, a valid baptism without making it sound too technical or mechanical? Number one, they must have heard and understood the gospel. Number two, repentance. So I'll repeat that. Number one, someone must have heard and understood the gospel. Number two, repentance, turning away from sin, turning away from their old life to follow Jesus. Number three, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died, was crucified for our sins, was buried and rose again. By faith is an important factor, very important factor. If we look in Hebrews 11:29, it says, by faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians attempting to do so were drowned. So the Egyptians were chasing the children of Israel, but they had no faith, and that is why they drowned. If we don't have faith, baptism just gets us wet, and that's it. Jesus is the only way to pass through to newness of life. In Galatians 3:27, it says, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. This is a very important factor as well. Again, baptism is about salvation. Only Jesus saves. We know this. Only Jesus saves, not a denomination. We can't be baptized into a denomination. That's not going to save us. A mission won't save us. Being baptized into a mission doesn't save us. And we shouldn't let anybody else tell us different. So I'm about to bring it to a close. Let's go to Mark 16:16. He says, he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Again, baptism is part of salvation. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. The scriptures guarantee us. Anywhere other way, there is no guarantee. There is no guarantee. When I looked at this in a whole, I started to see a type of cross. Baptism into the Lord Jesus Christ. It's kind of like a type of cross. It takes us, Jesus takes us from death to life. That's the horizontal. And then you have the clear conscience between us and God. The righteousness, the justification between us and God. That's the vertical. Again, I'm just going back to that last scripture. Jesus doesn't want us to be left in a place of condemnation. He's trying to free us. He's trying to free us. Those of us that have been baptized know this. We know that it's only in him that we can be saved. So again, those of us that have been baptized, I want us to continue to walk on in newness of life. Be encouraged of that newness of life. But you might be sitting here and maybe your situation isn't the same. Maybe you weren't baptized as a baby. Maybe you've never heard the gospel. I want you to look to the cross again. It's on that cross that Jesus died for you. It's on that cross that he poured out his life to take you from death to life. It's on that cross that heavens were opened and the righteousness of God was made available for you, that you don't need to live any longer in condemnation or death. Tomorrow isn't promised. And when Noah was building the ark for those eight people amongst the however many millions, they all mocked. Everyone else mocked and laughed. But then it started to rain.